At the right time, gonna move my camera. Welcome to We'll Save the Podcast.
We'll Save.
I am your sharpshooting GM, John Swan, and I'm joined by my specialists here, Kevin Decker, William Garrett, Vinny Rodriguez, and Kelly Gillian. But I think I have to blank out your last names because you're technical specialists who are privacy is paramount, and no one must know who you are in any shape, way, or form.
Don't dox us.
Yeah, yeah, don't dox everybody. Kelly, question to you. Just a question. Why is it that in every time I'm editing an episode, I'm like, welcome to We'll Save. It's all the same thing. You come right place at the right time. Welcome to We'll Save the Podcast. Woo! And then folks are like, woo! And then like after everyone's done, you're like, yeah. Every time. Like without fail, if you go back and listen, it's like,
yeah.
Then, like we're all like, yeah! And then or you're like, We'll Save. Yeah.
It's Kelly ASMR Gilliam. That's his middle name.
Yeah. Don't dox me.
Don't dox me.
But yeah, my middle name is ASMR. The reason is because I want to listen to all of you collectively, like,
got
say it.
It
and shout it.
Got
and
it.
When I follow up with that, like it's just satisfied.
Like, it's like
I'm satisfied because I like listening to you do it. If I did it with you, then I wouldn't have that experience. What'd you say, Will?
You like call and response. You're the you like to respond.
He is the response. Yeah. Yeah, looks so.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 Kelly.
Like a hype man.
Yeah.
He's our internal hype man. He's our yes man.
Yeah. That's it. On the Will Save hip hop track, Kelly does all the ad libs.
Yeah, he does. And also the kind of, yeah. Yeah, it's good. Yeah. It's good. Kelly, we're going to start with you because you're going to be first this time. Not the response. If you could watch one movie for the rest of your life, what would it be? And also, would it be one of the Sony Spider-Mans?
No, fuck those. We were saying earlier that Toby... I was saying earlier that Toby Maguire
thanks for helping us all into
this. I appreciate you clarifying.
Yeah. Good. I don't know
I disavow why, all knowledge.
I don't know... Like,
this conversation.
He can't act. So, like, all he does is he's just an emotionless blob that, like, looks at the screen, and I don't understand why anyone likes him. And, like, he's so pathetic looking the entire time. And, But then people are like, oh, I feel really bad.
It's funny because, like if you came into this conversation just, like, 2 seconds late and had no idea, like, we didn't know the name of the person you're talking about, that could apply to, like, half of Hollywood.
Okay.
Okay, so, there are other people, but he's.
So let's substantiate this because I have a question for you, Kelly, to clarify this point that you're trying to make. How do you feel about Kristen Stewart?
I haven't seen Twilight or anything that she's in, but I've heard that that's the same situation. So, like, I think that he's the Kristen Stewart. Like, he's like Kristen Stewart. All right, so. But, and then people, the explanation I've heard, everyone always says, well, he plays the nerdy Peter Parker well, who's awkward. But that's not how fucking Peter Parker is. I remember, Kevin
can
back
me up
on this.
He was also 10 years older than Peter Parker should have been at the time. Like, yeah, there's a lot wrong with that casting.
But
there's a lot wrong with those movies.
So was Andrew Garfield.
Yeah,
but Andrew Garfield
looks like he's 12. so it works out.
But it's not just it's minus, not just how it looks.
Like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
there's something else. I'm just saying.
Honestly, I thought Andrew Garfield did a fantastic job as Spider-Man.
I thought
they ruined it with the there second movie with the lizard. Or no, they ruined it with the lizard, and then the second movie had like Electro, which they redeemed him in I think they did a really good job redeeming all those characters and those arcs.
Shout out Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
So
it's just bad direction. It's bad direction.
So
Sam Raimi.
But he was in Seabiscuit too. He was in Seabiscuit, and the same thing happened.
He was also in Pleasantville
with no emotion at all the entire time. That was
that's because if you have too many emotions, your horses don't bite you in the face.
What about Pleasantville?
Yeah, Pleasantville. Okay,
well, dude. I don't have a huge sample size.
Pleasantville, because
he's had two movies.
I love Pleasantville. What are you talking about? Get out of here.
Pleasantville was like just 2.5 hours too long. Like they could have just made that whole movie and like condensed it.
Kelly,
and like I remember, maybe I just saw it when I was too young. I think I was like 13 or 14 when I saw that movie.
I
was like, okay, and it's all black and white right now. Oh, they're turning color, and then it's like, but they're going black and white again, and it's just like back and forth and back and forth. And I was like, I'm done with this, and I walked out.
Were you watching it on mute?
No,
like
in a theater,
because like it seems like he just recapped it without any of the audio. Yeah,
and you might as well just.
You didn't know it was a talkie.
He didn't know it was a talkie. Yeah, I mean we should ask Will about that because he was around when that was new. You know, so it's fine.
There are very few movies I've actually walked out of, and that's one of them.
So to be clear, is the question now
what is the movie you've walked out of? Yeah,
this is now the question: is what movie have you walked out of? It was what was your favorite movie, but Kelly ruined that. So instead, we're going to go with...
Oh, sorry. Okay. DuckTales movie. I would watch the DuckTales movie over and over again until the end of time. That's a fucking great movie.
I was thinking Toy
That's
Story.
That's a standard. I'm
for this.
I love it.
Yep. I would watch Toy Story. Yeah. I think I could watch Toy Story a million times.
So can really? We take a slight left turn? Because I think John was going to ask about what movie you've walked out of. Can we just talk about the worst movie you've ever seen
that's
that maybe
also
you didn't
fun.
Walk out of, but you probably should have?
Oh, I've watched a lot of shitty movies.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of really bad movies.
I learned to appreciate them later.
Like, I can appreciate the creativity. I can appreciate the art form. Like, I've been involved with enough production that I understand that even a shitty movie is a heroic.
I love really bad movies.
So
I watch a lot of bad movies.
I saw Out of Darkness recently.
Out of Darkness.
And it's such a bad movie. It, like, the photography, because so much of it is spent at night, you're just like, this is pitch black. We've got a 30-foot wide black screen, and I have no idea what's going on. The movie is a period piece, but it's like ancient Scotland period piece, so like it could be ancient anywhere. There's a made-up language, so like you've got to read all of the dialogue. There's not really a compelling protagonist. The main conflict is just like humans of different tribes trying to figure out how to coexist, and they end up killing each other because that's what we've done for all time. Like, it's the top to bottom, the worst movie I've ever seen in my life.
Interesting.
Yeah. What's it called again?
Out of Darkness.
Out of Darkness.
Yeah, I saw it. AMC does this thing where like... you can buy a ticket for, I think it was called the something Screamies, and like you show up at a given time and nobody knows what the movie's going to be until the movie starts. And that was the movie. And I mean, by that point I was committed. I wasn't going to walk out.
How long of a movie is it?
It's 2 hours. It's normal feature length.
Okay.
It came out a year ago, maybe 2 years ago in the UK, and just recently... like, I think it's about to come out in the U.S.
I'm going to watch it and probably love it.
You probably are going to. You're probably going
to
love it.
I would love to hear your feedback on this movie after you see it.
Yeah, yeah.
There's also, like, ancient barbers, apparently. Like, they had perfect fades. And,
oh, yeah,
like,
of course.
Yeah.
Facial hair.
Yeah.
Just some weird choices.
I think, so one of the worst movies I ever saw, and this is back in the Blockbuster days, I, like, saw the movie on the shelf. I was like, huh, that sounds interesting. And I just picked it up. It was called Bunker. And it was, I think it was like a straight to video independent film, but it had some pretty big names at the time in it. But I loved 75% of the movie. Then it ruined it. Like the whole idea is it's, I think they're Germans in Germany during World War II. And or they're like, I forget what it is. Either way, it's like, you know, allies versus the Axis or whatever the case is. And they get stuck in a bunker. And then while they're in the bunker, they're stuck in there so long, they start to go delusional, and then the people start dying. But then it's like this whole debate of like, well, the ghosts are killing them, or, you know, there's a murderer, or like they're all just like, they're all going nuts and they're losing their minds about like who's doing what and how they're dying. And for a long time, it was just the, like up until like three quarters of the way through the movie, it is all just, you know, conspiracy and stuff. And then it turns out there's actually like a giant spider monster. You're just like, okay, this ruined the whole movie.
That sounds bad.
Is this like It 3? Like, what are we?
It was very, it was poorly made. And then like the spider was very terribly done. And it just ruined the whole movie. But yeah.
This is apparently, there is a new one, possibly 2022. So just saying, it's out there.
Yeah. You're talking about the 2022
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
It's not 2022. I watched it like 10 years ago.
I like to, when I'm going to see what movie is like going to be on, but that like I'm watching, right? Like I was looking for, you know, like Dune or something. And then, you know, I'm on some streamer. And there's always something like, people who watched this one also watched this or also like this.
Oh, yeah. Also watched Scanners.
Yeah. And
also
I loved going through and seeing like just movies that I never even knew existed. And then like you watch those trailers or you read the reviews left by people on their like Firecube or like whatever, you know, and it's great. That's yeah. I don't end up watching them, but I do end up wondering, and I spend a little too long like researching the movie and like seeing like what what happened to it. But I don't watch it.
Well, you do that though. You just read the entire movie like synopsis.
That's a separate
or, like,
banter.
A scene by scene.
That's for horror movies, and that's for
I know,
banter.
But I
used to make fun of John for that.
Oh my god!
And
here it is.
Now that I have children and don't have any time, I end up reading about movies, and like, yeah, it's the movies that like I don't have the time or the energy to sit through.
Right.
Then I'll read
the
synopsis.
But you're curious. Yeah.
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 Makes a difference.
I found it. It's called The Bunker, and it came out in, I think, 2001.
Not to be confused with Bunker. Got it.
Right. And it's Germans that end up... hold on. This is what it says. Germany, 1944, the Forest of Ardennes, a platoon of wary German soldiers forced into confusion and retreat by advancing Allied forces... take refuge in an isolated Siegfried Line bunker. Yeah. Mm. Anyways.
Does anyone have one that they want to share before we get started?
I was going to say for movies, I don't know if I've ever walked out of a movie. But the one that I really, really disliked was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles one done by, what's his name? The guy who doesn't do good things. But like he does explosions well. That's like his
Michael
only
Bay.
Thing.
Oh yeah, Michael Bay. Yeah, the Michael Bay movies, Spider-Man or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies were mediocre.
I fell asleep. I actually fell asleep, which is rare. Like in movies, like I.
Which and, like, one is Ninja that Ninja where like there's really the liked. Ooze and Vanilla Ice and
no,
the second
no,
that's
no, it's where there's big that would have been CGI good. Buff muscular.
Gross. The '90s TMNT killer.
They were. Yeah. They that got worse and worse, chance. But they were all better than the.
I would watch that 100 times.
Me too.
The Seth Rogen new one is actually really good.
The animated one, cool.
Is that the computer animated one?
Yeah,
where everything's computer animated. Yeah, that's what I've heard. Yeah.
Any
also, I don't like the original trilogy of. I feel like if I watched it again today, I would walk out of the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies. But beyond
so
that,
we're
like
full circle. I don't, we're full circle.
Yeah, back to that.
We're back to where we started.
Really, just pissing off Sam Raimi.
Yeah, that's it. That's the whole point of this thing. Yeah.
Although, what's his name was really cool. The villain. Not the Green Goblin because he's ridiculous, Dafoe. But like when he wasn't the Green Goblin, William Dafoe.
He's so good.
Great. I mean, he's great. Yeah, everything he does.
I really liked it. I actually really liked those movies. Maybe I'm alone. I didn't think those
were
so bad.
No, most too. People agree with you. Most people like them. So it's my fault, I guess.
It is your fault.
Army of Darkness. Great.
That's it.
Doctor Strange.
No, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. I think
it's a bad movie.
It was a good movie.
Hang on, guys, we're almost at the 15-minute limit here. Come on, this is a
I can't let that slide though. Multiverse of Madness was incredible.
I think it was there were a lot of things that were changed to it, in the, especially in the very beginning. And if Sam Raimi could go back and do like a Raimi's edit, then I think it would come out almost perfect.
Oh, Sam Raimi did it.
He did it, but then there's producers and other bureaucracy that changes movies.
The new Ant-Man movie was so bad that one I almost walked out of for sure.
Marvel's not on it.
I thought it was pretty good.
What?
It was okay.
What was bad about that?
I thought it was
please
okay.
Unpack the Ant-Man movie?
Yes.
The one where they go into the micro world or whatever.
Quantum world,
and then like
you.
What? Quantum the Bill, universe. Bill yeah. Murray's in it?
Yeah. Fucking Murray.
Yeah, it
Bill
is.
Murray is cool. Come on, bro. Okay. But like literally it is insanely boring. It's just boring.
I would say it's and boring. I would agree with that.
Okay.
It's a little slow.
You know what's not boring?
Nothing happens.
You know what's not boring?
Okay.
Starfinder.
Starfinder will change the podcast. Let's go.
We'll get the podcast.
Let's go.
One of literally thousands of podcasts.
Proud.
One of literally thousands.
Proud to be one of literally thousands.
Yeah.
See,
yeah, there's only like 1,000. Yep. There's only like 2,000 podcasts out
there. There it is.
You know, another situation where we would be proud to be one of literally thousands is our attendance at Gen Con in Indianapolis in August.
That's more than thousands, right? Mm-hmm. Or
could be tens.
Tens of people
thousands.
Are there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Dozens.
Dozens of thousands.
If you're going to Gen Con, you will know how hard
hundreds
it was to get
of
housing.
Dozens of
we
thousands.
Had a huge adventure, like just trying to like get a place to like exist, like in Indianapolis.
Y'all, we had like a whole business meeting to the point where we didn't even resolve this problem on ourselves. We had to combine with another group of individuals that also record their content to put it out. You might call them podcasters.
I think of
the Southern tomfoolery persuasion.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Strange Table Fellers.
Strange Table Fellers is their new name.
We're going to be living with them for like 4 days.
It's not new.
In case you're not a possum or you know, we haven't said anything on our Discord, we're going to be hanging out with the Strange Table Fellows folks for Gen Con this year.
Also Finder. We're going to be hanging out with Finder as well.
And Finder. We're going to find
Finder. We're going to find Finder for the first time. And I'm
pretty sure Finder's going to find us.
It's
the Finder.
True.
Embarrassing moment. It didn't occur to me until this week. His handle was Finder of the Paths and Stars.
Yep.
Was that a Pathfinder and Starfinder reference?
It's very
whoop,
all the way over my head until this week. Maybe I drink too much, I don't know.
And maybe we'll find you there, dear listener.
Yeah.
If you happen to be there.
Come find us.
Or come find us.
There might be signage with some will save branding on it. We might have some funny quips. We might have a QR code where new people could find our show. We might just be around playing tabletop RPGs wearing Will Save
stuff.
Merch. Yeah. You know, maybe if you find us, we might have a sticker for you. You know, who knows? There's all sorts of maybe stuff.
Matthew, if I see you again, don't be like mean to me for like not knowing things.
What?
All right.
Who's mean? Are you worried about people being mean to you, Kelly?
Matthew Lillard was mean.
So, he's not a fan, though. He's Kelly's face.
You
were
the bad mouthing him. His face was like, hands over his face. It's like, please don't get mad at me.
We don't know if he listens or doesn't. Thanks for listening.
With that, let's get back into
why
are you doing this?
Fact, man. You asked. Gen Con 2023 had 70,000 visitors.
No one asked that.
70?
No one.
Five of.
Well, probably going to be higher.
Dozens of 70 of thousands. And with that.
Dozens of thousands.
You are 70,000 feet below the surface. You're not actually. You're not that far beneath the surface.
You guys remember that time we stonewalled John from actually starting the party? That was fun.
Good times. It happens every time.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
It is as consistent as Kelly's response to Welcome to Will Save is being stonewalled. It's good.
Yay.
It's good. And throughout this whole nice business side of things, we've had the recap music playing, so it's made it extra, give it that extra gravity, that weight. Super quick recap. You are deep down in the mountain, in the trenches of Morrow, in a cliffside, following Leora's signal that you've been alerted is beep, 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 moving further down into the mountain. You come into a secret staircase from Leora's home office after you very brilliantly deduced that the painting above the secret staircase was showing you 20 seconds into the future, and you figured out the right code sunlight to open up the door and descend. You find a hidden warehouse full of stacks of books, art, statues. Didn't get a chance to see what it all said, to see what it was all about, because you start fighting a dogmatic Shabbat sniper perched in the corner of this little hidden treasure trove. Kara steps up. Kara and the sniper, I feel like, going shot for shot. Just like gets a shot off, shoots him in the same spot. Kara nails it. Professional as always, dealing a bunch of damage. Cecil starting to get creative to throw an entangled grenade. I know I should have saved probably, but figure that out later. It's all good. They are entangled because they're not moving. They're trying to take you out. Boom. Also creative. Takes a page out of Cecil's book. Or was it the other way around? Throws up this grenade to summon an Electrovore to attack. And Miko, I think, is about ready to do some damage. But we ended last time.
It's an Electrovore, John.
What was it? Sorry. Apologies. And
I'm sorry. It was an electric guy.
An electric guy. Is that the Starfinder piezo term?
He's an electric Atronach or something like that, which is all I can think of because I'm thinking of Skyrim. Yeah, Elemental. That's what it is.
There it is. Thank you. Thank you.
We just keep calling it the Electrovore because Heroes has the Electrovore statue.
That's right. I mean, I appreciate the call out, but like, I don't want to insult Electrovore with this new person. We don't know if he's cool or not. I don't know anything about this guy.
We don't know his personality.
I don't know what his name is.
Yeah.
That's true. How long does it last for? You read into that?
Read it as we determine what happens next, because I believe Cecil came up and alley-ooped his pike over the railing and then stabbed the Shabbat. The Shabbat goes down and then comes back up.
One day we'll figure out your definition of alley-oop.
Oh, man. It's the only definition.
What does it mean? What does
no one
it mean?
Knows.
We read it to you.
We've gone over this.
Everyone kept
we
calling
have gone
it
over this.
I'm going to bring you guys back to the map here. The Shabbat is and Migo.
Hey, Kevin, you're really going to hate this. Oh, Kevin's gone.
Kevin's gone. But I think he'll be back in just a sec. Migo, what do you want to do with your turn? It is your turn in round two of this fight. The Shabbat has gone down. You are still on the ground standing next to Migo. Kara is across the room next to the windows, got a good vantage point. Cecil's run up the stairs, and Electric Guy is standing behind the Shabbat sniper. Will.
Electric Guy.
He's the only guy. One. Sorry.
Yeah, what's up?
No, only... what's up, man?
All right, am I the only one... Who can, I only see the spinning logo on Foundry.
I see the building.
Yeah, I see the map.
The layout.
I only see the spinning one. I'm going to refresh, though.
Give her a reload.
A second.
Let me
I see
unpause.
It now. Oh, wait, no. I see the spinning logo.
Yeah.
Kelly, I don't see you in Foundry.
Yeah, he is restarting. Will just came back.
Yeah, I'm just refreshing.
They were.
Yeah, tech issues.
It's funny, before we started the banter, we were talking about how all of this is run from like a pizza box server in my office, like just off camera that way. And I just upgraded from a much older server to a more current version.
Old pizza box, new pizza box.
Old pizza box, new pizza box. New pizza box, courtesy of Urban, my good friend. He cut me a really good deal on this. And it's got like stupid specs.
And then it fails a little bit.
You know.
I was going to say.
When you try to connect from halfway around the world. Like,
we're doing a lot of stress on our system. It's fine.
And also a lot of stress as you are starting to run your stamina and hit points low.
I mean, it's only got 378 gigs of RAM.
Yeah, that's it.
What?
It's enough to compile some good things.
So
I can put that to you.
I'm just checking our usage for the Foundry.
Yeah, it's cool.
So Foundry, we're using 200 megs of the 4 gigs I provisioned.
Solid. Cool.
That's probably the issue.
Six CPU cores. I've got 48 logical cores. Like, there's a ceiling somewhere, but I haven't hit it yet.
Is this Bigo's attack? Is reading out the specs of the server box that he has at home?
Just puts a Shabbat to sleep.
Just wait long enough. Awesome. He'll just
she'll
just pass out.
Yeah, I'm back.
So Migo is going to spend.
Oh, it rotates with me.
That's nice. Migo,
because we're trying to have the stairs thing all over the place.
Sorry.
And Kelly is rotating his character. Just can't get.
Also, Kevin.
Do a little dance, make a little love, get down tonight.
That's Kevin's also good.
As Kelly rotates his boom, the electrical elemental is also rotating, which is actually kind of cute.
His official name is Electric Guy, I guess. Electric also, guy. Kevin, you're really going to hate this, but there's no time limit to him.
Pazam!
Sorry, this is like
that's
to
probably,
parade,
that's probably not true. You've like a
okay.
I'll get back to you on that one.
Like, continue on. He's gonna get to the bottom of that. So, Migo, what are you doing right now?
So, Migo very strategically placed himself here. I'm so excited for my turn right now. I'm gonna spend 2 mutation points for that's those tracking at home. Migo gets a mutation point at the start of each of his turn.
Okay.
What I get by spending those 2 mutation points is a climb speed of half of my movement speed.
Wow.
So we have canonically figured out that this ledge is about 8 to 10 feet high. So Migo is just going to like scurry himself all the way up right next to this Shabbat.
Wow.
Whip out his big ass hammer and shabong this.
Wow.
Shabong.
So you run up this heavy duty door, leap over the railing, go into shabong.
Leap. I imagine he utilizes every bit of his Air Maxes to like yeet himself over the barrier, railing, the safety wall.
Like a cool TMNT flip jump.
Right.
Yeah.
So that is a 21 to hit.
21 to hit against
EAC.
Against EAC. Even with a melee weapon? Love it.
Because it's an electric weapon.
Kelly is still turning his tokens.
I'm not doing that on purpose. I swear to God.
Yeah, Boom is just doing pirouettes as he watches like, all of this unfold.
Can you just, please. Yes, that hits.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So then that is...
There you go.
That's a 1 on the die for 8 electric damage.
1 on the die.
So it's,
tell
it's
me.
Just like a he jumps over the ledge, but he does kind of a gainer over and just brings the hammer right down on this Shabbat's knee. The head would be a much higher roll. So it brings it down on like his knee.
Okay.
And you can just see like the electric charges all the way through.
Pulses right through their massive body. They are a large creature. And their whole body shakes. And then they fall dead to the ground.
Aww. Nice.
That was great.
Okay, so speaking of electric energy.
There it is.
Let's go back to the summoning grenade thing. What level is your summoning grenade?
I think it
that's
was
a really good question.
Mark 1?
It's a 2 or a 3. Hold on.
Mark 2 is level 6.
It must be 2 then. It's whatever the max I can do is. So give me like a second.
So that would be a second level summon creature and caster level 6. And so it is
3 rounds.
1 round per level. So it'd be 6 levels.
6 levels.
If it's a Mark 2.
Okay.
Or 6 rounds. Yeah.
Do you know like the meme of like the actually kid? Like, whenever someone says something, and then there's like someone who's like, actually.
Well, Kelly, if you just followed the rules, man, I don't know what to tell you. It's not. it says when you throw the grenade, it casts summon creature. So just look up summon creature. That gives you the rules about the creature.
Is your contention that you're not actually kid, or that you are, but only because we don't read the rules?
Actually.
I'm just upset you don't read the rules.
He's upset that we don't, like, I'm helping out with notes today, okay? Baby steps toward, like,
I'm not helping with notes today, and that's my task.
Well, the notes should say, Kelly got summoning a grenade.
Because I have heavy-handed typing skills.
Unless you type one at a time. But you type very quickly.
My other keyboard is a typewriter, and that's true.
That's why your fingers are so strong.
Is that a bumper sticker? my other keyboard is a typewriter.
Has to be. The Shabbat goes down. Cecil is standing on the steps. Migo is standing up. Yeah, Migo, next
did
to
you
the
get
Shabbat.
A plus two on that attack?
You didn't need it, but you probably could have.
Well, what's really fun is because combat is over, he loses all of the evolution points and no longer has a climb speed.
Okay. So
Migo isn't entirely sure how he's getting back down.
There are stairs.
We just gotta like,
there are stairs.
And there's a door. Isn't there a door here?
Oh, good.
Nah, electric guy can carry you down.
Oh, good.
Well, yeah. How? So electric guy lasts for 6 rounds, so 36 seconds.
Yeah, he's gonna be available for like 36 seconds.
Well, so we're not like, in round. Yeah, we're not in turn-based combat anymore, so I
know,
imagine.
I know, that's why you gotta hurry up. All right, electric guy, come down.
What do you all want to do? You're standing in this hidden library warehouse with all these books around. There's a large...
Kara is gonna approach and... Okay,
this doesn't make sense, John.
I think across the... Is there like some sort of like safe?
There is a
like,
large...
What is this
facade? Yeah, there's a large,
here?
Heavy door... Like a, you would think a door that the same that would be in front of a vault door, that is right underneath the perch that the Shabbat was in.
Cecil rolled a 22 for perception.
Okay. That is a roster.
Boom is looking at this like Pharaoh painting and seeing if there's anything. He's gonna like perceive this and then
roll
other
a perception
stuff
check
around this general area.
Roll a perception check.
Cool. I will.
Kara, you're investigating the door. I'm guessing.
Yes. Love it. Kara's going to be investigating the door.
Give me an engineering check. And Migo, what are you doing?
Migo's checking the body.
Migo's checking the body. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. Cool.
Kara rolled a 6.
Kara rolled a... Okay. It's a big door. It's a big door. You think that there have to be services like a computer that can unlock it, but it's large enough, and you would know, I think just from your experiences, that... You do have a laser drill with you. Given enough time and in the right spot, you could probably laser drill your way into the door, at least through where either any of the locks are, you could probably get through. So you could try with computers. Might be tough. You know, typically these are pretty heavily secure. Or given a couple minutes, the right locations, you can use your laser drill. Maybe somebody can help you.
Yeah. Oh, I have drills.
Is there like any sign that like their room, or is it like a self-contained unit?
You're not sure yet.
Like it's, yeah. Okay.
Not sure yet. It's a good question. It's a good question.
We've got to get in this vault, I think.
Kara, I have specific, if you remember from bathroom stall, specific weapon / device for helping out with, and I'll help you out.
Well, my knowledge of these things is about as similar as that bathroom stall, apparently. this door is just massive. Well, did we search this guy's body?
That's what Migo's doing right now, right? Migo?
That's correct.
Got it. You see that this is another member of the IFF. But if you give me a culture check. Do you have culture?
Yes, he has culture. Let's
Kara
see.
Will assist.
Okay. Yeah, you're shouting down what you see.
That is a 13, but it's a -5. It's related to militaries.
Okay. Cool. 13 and then +2 from Kara. So 15. Yeah, that's enough to know. And Kara, you might know too, because you've been around. This is Malarash, who is a well-known Shabbat sniper who, as of the past few years, you haven't heard a lot of, typically a mercenary killer for hire. Sometimes on the same side as you, sometimes not. You know that they have been known to have very strong opinions in the past. And sometimes when they are a mercenary for a certain group, they can take on those beliefs. But for the past few years, you haven't heard about them. And you see the IFF symbol. You do remember that they lost, of course, in a terrible backstory, lost a lot of their tribe, even though that tribe was warned that there would be a terrible tragedy. And Malarash was the only one who listened. And that part of their backstory seemed to resonate. And you can see their trajectory of how they are now laying here before you dead.
Dead, yeah.
But well-known sniper, well-known mercenary.
Are we just this good?
Oh my God. You see Migo take a knee and like pay respect to Malarash. Like, if nothing else, Migo will respect his art for, like, his dedication to the craft, if not his motivations behind it.
Does Migo say anything or just quiet?
Just a quiet, like, you know, two knuckles on his forehead, committing his spirit to the elders and...
Love it.
You know, okay. Warrior to warrior.
Yeah.
It was a good battle.
Okay, Cecil. Didn't know if anybody else wanted to do something. Cecil, you rolled a... What was your perception?
Well, I want
to
do 22.
And what was your perception, Boom?
That's right. It's 19. But I was looking at the Pharaoh thing.
You were looking at the Pharaoh thing. Useful.
That's what Boom wanted to know.
They're both pretty good. Something behind them. Both pretty good. I'll say this. Boom and Cecil, you see that a lot of these books are very specific logs and records about the history of Ringworks.
Okay.
You go through and I would say that do you take a few minutes to like kind of peruse through, look through things?
Why, sure. Yeah.
While that's going on, I think Kara's gonna like investigate the body further for any signs of like where the our target is. Ooh. And check the computers for any access to the safe or the whatever this
totally
door vault looking thing
yeah,
is.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
Hey, is everyone Kara, are you all right? Do you need to take a rest?
I'm hurt, yes, but I think it's more important to start to figure out where our target, the kidnapped is.
I think we got 10 minutes. Just take a breather. As the team medic, I think it's my responsibility to tell you to do that.
All right, then.
Okay. Love it. During that rest, I know, Kara, you're just kind of perusing around the computer. You think that the computer there could possibly open the door. But I don't know what your computer's skill is, but it would be possible. It seems like it might be tough to get in. The body. The body. There's nothing more on the body about where your target might be. But checking out their data pad, I think there's a message on there from an unknown number that just says... hold them off as long as possible. Cecil and Boom, you are looking through the logs, thumbing through. You start to realize that Morrow was one of the first Ringworks factories. Not for too long, but you can see really early dormant ship designs and logs. Maybe you're looking through kind of a history. You see that this was also a steward's office that was headquartered here in this same location. And it was labeled as one of the, let's say, one of its one-of-a-kind offices. It seems that there's a lot of references to the draws for this office. Then,
how do you spell that?
D-R-A-W-S. Then, as Thasteron was really booming, a lot of available space. After the steward's office, they moved, I think, over to the Hive Market, I think is where they are now. And then all available space needed to be turned into Thasteron. And so this became a geothermal Thasteron main manufacturing plant for a while. Obviously, Thasteron did not last. And so... it's the chosen location. Returning to a Ringworks office feels very circular. You're going through, you realize there's like a history of like every single Ringworks model ship. There's like you know, Ringworks is one of the oldest manufacturers of ship in the Pact worlds. So there's evidence of their manufacturing pre-GAP, right? And so you see that there are some records that are pre-GAP records here that you would never be able to find, but they're like designs and launch testings of like Aether ships that launched from Skydock. That's where on Verses, that's where Ringworks started. You see rogue designs of ships that never made it to the factory floor. You see luxury ships, which Ringworks is not known for luxury. They're known for very good quality, but stable, right middle of the road, like a good balance of price, practical, fast, adaptable. You see an early design for the Ringworks Wanderer. There's probably one in every docking bay from here to the Vest, right? Like that's like such a ubiquitous ship. This is a clearly a library and sacred space for Ringworks where they keep some of their kind of offline information. That includes Ringworks personnel. Notable ones. CEOs. Oh. Founders. Full biographies. Day-to-day decisions. A lot of logs. Give me whoever is looking through here, because Kari, you're looking at the computer. Whoever's looking through books, walking around in this check, or Kara, maybe if you want to as well, give me a culture check.
Culture. So I can't.
Okay.
Kara will roll.
Migo, you are still
doing this.
Taking a break, but paying reverence and respect to the body.
Man. She rolled a one.
It's fine. You can't.
For an 11.
Yeah, that's still good enough. Okay.
But
I'm surprised that Kara would roll a one, knowing Kara. She seems like very knowledgeable.
She's focused on the computer.
Yeah. That makes sense. Migo.
I imagine like he's paid respect. There's a time and a place, and I think the time is he's paid respect and it's time to move on to the task at hand.
Okay.
He's probably noticed by now the stairs leading down. And so if there's not a wall collision, he'll move down and start inspecting the books and trying to figure out clues to figure out what the next right thing to do is.
Mm. Okay.
Boom rolled 18 culture.
Boom rolled 18 culture. Books. Okay. Will, pick a number between 1 and 4.
2.
Okay.
Was that inclusive of 1 and 4?
Yes.
Or could he only pick 2 and 3?
It's a good question. Including 1 and 4.
Wait, can I change my answer? No. 0.
No. Logic. Betty, give me a number between 1 and 4.
I'm going to roll a d4.
Okay. Kelly and Kevin, give me something. You can roll a d4 if you want.
Uno.
Between a 1 and a 4. Can I just choose one?
Then I got a 1.
I got 3.
Kevin got a 3. Yeah. Kelly, you can choose one or do it around it.
Nah. We will choose a 4, I guess.
Kay. Boom. You're looking through, and then just barely you feel. Your
electric guy? What's happening?
Electric guy unfortunately vanished after trying to.
Did he? Because he's on this map.
Yeah, he's upside down.
Completely tied to
you put him in the dark spot of the map.
he moves. I did.
Now Boom has to look at the shelves.
Okay. All right.
So it's when I
move, you move. Just like that.
Okay. Got it. As he starts walking around and he's about to tell you the secret of the meaning of life, he's like, fades away. So you'll never know.
God dang it.
That's rough. What the shock was. You feel the static shock.
The shock. Your data pad is going off.
All right. Boom opens the data pad.
It's...
And this furrows his brows.
It looks it's not an unknown number. It's just not a contact that you have in your phone.
But it's not in my phone.
They're reporting the number.
It's reporting the number. It's not private. It doesn't say that it's private, hidden.
It's not
scam likely.
It's not scam likely.
What's the area code?
It's Mario area code.
Okay. Yes. He picks up.
Hello? Is this Boom?
Yeah, it's Boom.
I have good news for you, Boom. I have the best news for you. You sitting down? Are you ready?
Yes, yes. Okay. Finally, subscription went through. He sits on the couch, like in front of where the bookshelf curves.
Okay, all right.
Excited.
Do you recall the other day when at the Morrow Museum, you guessed the number of beans at the Mari Morrow bean contest? Well,
You guessed the closest. You've won. You've won a year subscription to Mari Morrow Beans. How do you feel?
It's great news. I feel very good. What is subscription? Do I get to eat bean, or do I get magazine for bean, or what is
you get? You get a year supply of beans, so you'll have a monthly subscription of beans delivered to your door, as well as the Beanly, which is our monthly magazine, all things about Mari Morrow Beans, including interviews with staff and some coupons in case you want to extend for friends and family discount. Obviously, you got an extra one there, right? And we're thinking, this is new. We've never done this before for our winners. You get a tour of the factory in next month. So hope your schedule's open. Hope you're ready. But you get to come see how the beans are made, as they say.
Oh, fantastic. As for the magazine and bean delivery, I will give you address right now. And then he sends over Cecil's address. Okay. He has a family to feed.
That's so sad.
I'll make sure to send you deets. Are you talking about the bean thing where Boom like literally bullshitted like the amount?
Yes.
I think how much did he
right
guess
before
again?
The attack on the
The attack was very unfortunate, but for the purposes of this promotion and sweepstakes and giveaway, you did win. So I wanted to call you and just let you know.
Well, I appreciate it. That is great customer service to hear from you directly, and I'm glad to see you are healthy and okay.
I
will be in touch with you soon.
I really appreciate that.
Bye.
If it's okay, at the end of this call, there may be a very short survey. So if you could just rate how I was between 1 and 5, I would really appreciate that. Look, if you want to stay on the line, Jared's going to come on the line. He's going to get all the information to send to you. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. Great. Boom. You have yourself a fantastic.
So Kara's
10
minute rest
week.
Is up.
The whole okay, we're goodbye. So sorry for the loss of life, but beans.
Yeah.
You did win. All right. So
Boom hangs up, by the way.
Oh, so.
Like, it's not going to do that.
Oh, so you'll give Cecil's address? It's pretty quick.
I mean, Cecil's address he's going to give, but
okay,
like
that's fine.
The review.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
They never know. They never know if you actually did it.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Hopefully.
Okay. Hopefully.
Do they? It's all randomized, right?
Turns out she's going to be the villain in Threefold because you didn't fill it out. All right. So that happened. And
thanks.
Yeah. You won beans for life. Well, for the next year.
Whee!
So,
well, Cecil did.
Kara, you gave a culture check. And Cecil, you don't have culture, right? And Kelly, did you?
I have no culture.
Yeah.
I'm cultureless.
Yeah. You are cultureless.
He rolled an 18 culture.
Okay. As you're on the phone, everyone else is chilling, walking, typing on the computer. Your eyes just like scan over. You just like look. There's a bust. And there's a name on the bust. The name is Mycroft Black. You're like,
It's a cool name.
Spell that right.
Then you're looking over. You see a couple volumes talk about Mycroft Black. You're just kind of maybe perusing as you're on speakerphone, starting to look through. And then that's, you know, you just say Cecil's address and you hang up. And you start just thumbing through pages about Mycroft Black's time as one of the pivotal CEOs of Ringworks, skilled inventor of micro technologies for starships. A lot of work with keeping the same power output while reducing the footprint for a lot of different technologies across the whole manufacturing process. This includes a lot of cutting edge science and magic incorporation. You see that there's even work that they did with nanites. There's a lot that they built that you maybe see, and you and Kara and Migo, you're like, I see the descendants of this idea. I see the descendants of this technology and what I'm using today. Brilliant.
Like we're all looking at our own hands like, whoa.
Then you look over and listed on a page, you feel the thickness and you're like, pull the page apart and realize that there's a fold out piece of paper that is folded in quadrants. And you can, it's bigger than the book. You fold it out. Some sort of large... Yeah, it's porn.
It's a Minecraft. It's porn.
Naked. Looking over the shoulder with the buns out. It's a large calendar, you think? There's a lot on there. Circular. Weaving. Seems like a lot of the language is in Aklo. You aren't quite sure what to make of it. Anybody who is either looking at it or besides Boom or Boom, give me either a perception or a physical science or a mysticism. I think those are the three checks. To see
could you all please, Kara, regarding this, right?
Yeah.
A 27 perception.
Kara, can you take a look at natural this? Point. I'm not sure. It's written in Aklo. I don't know. But the sketch and calendar of one of the previous CEOs. Oh wait, no, it's not a porn sketch anymore. 27 perception.
27 perception from
it's Kara. Just a calendar.
Okay. So Kara,
23 yeah. life science.
Okay. I love that y'all start to kind of you're resting, then you come over. Migo, Kara, Boom. Maybe each of you sees it at the same time because you all roll pretty high. You're like. That date is recent. That date's a long time ago, but that date is also recent, like in the past year. And you realize that at the intersections of some of these lines, the full meaning of the map is not quite clear, but it's odd that this map calendar has all these dates from here to Mycroft's time, which was close to the gap afterwards, but... close to it. And you think, maybe you're looking, maybe you ask Archie. The dates on the map correspond to the dates of the kidnappings that you responded to on Mara.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing, John?
Do you all see what I see? These lines are perfectly with kidnappings on Mara.
What?
We should take this with us.
What dates are we seeing exactly? Like, are these the life and death dates of this individual, or...
No, that's...
We said it's a full page. It's like predictions, or like, it's all... It's almost like a celestial map of...
Will, you what you're saying?
It's like a template of, like... Is somebody recreating it, or is somebody, like... Is this a prediction, like what Kevin said?
You think it's predictive. Clearly, the lines indicate some sort of trajectory.
Cosmic event.
Less of a cosmic event. And you can tell that the scale of the map is like large in terms of time. But then it zooms into these specific days. And that's the amount of granularity that you get. So it seems like it's acknowledging and tracking some sort of force or impression, but then it zones in on these days as if something is supposed to happen on that day.
Is there any, like, future? Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, that's the next thing.
I was going to say, Cecil wants to, like, run his finger along and see if there's a date for today and if there's any dates in the future.
I feel like the four of you have, like, spread it out, and you're all you all started on a different part of the map, and then your fingers start to come together, all four fingers, and there's a date for today.
Yeah, we all look up together like that one part of that Scooby Doo where they all look at the camera at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
From the book,
Scooby Doo appears. It's actually Electric Guy.
Pull the mask off the Shabbat. Yeah, and it's just an old white man. Yeah.
It's actually the mayor of Morrow.
I would have got away with it, too, if it wasn't for your kids and your mangy.
There's a date for today.
What does it say? Oh, no, these are just days with no descriptions. Correct. Yeah. So, okay.
So you're standing in this hidden library. You've taken out the threat of a Shabbat who is told to hold you off for as long as possible. You have discovered that there is a lot of history here. About Ringworks, about the building, about some of its founders, including this Mycroft Black and some calendar map kept in their books. And then you, maybe Kara, you remember there's a large safe door off to the left.
Is there a door up here up the stairs into the right once you're up there next to the Shabbat?
No.
Can't click it.
Nope.
Okay. It looks like a door, but it's not. No. So this is like a dead end room. It's just a big warehouse. And then there's the vault. Mm-hmm. All right. I think the only way forward is through that door.
Agreed. Let's see if we can unlock together. But if not, I have Trusty back up and he like hits his little breacher gun. But he folds up the map, the calendar, puts it in his coat pocket and starts to make
his way. I'll break out my laser drill.
Oh, yeah. Can team up on the laser drill. That's and cool.
Can I use, I'm assuming like maybe the, this vault's like single forge construction in some places. Like, can I use my electrolocation?
Yeah, I'd say you could. Definitely.
Let's take a look.
A laser drill can create a hole 1 inch in diameter and 1 inch deep.
Same time, Kara?
Yeah. You see exactly where a lot of the bolts are going from the door into the surrounding wall. And you are able to identify those weak points around it. And you're a smart cookie. You know if you make this cut here, this cut here, this cut here, the door might be able to open.
Kara, just like old... Oh, wait, no. I'm no... Who's doing this? Cecil, right?
Cecil and Kara, I think.
Okay.
Right?
Oh, I wanted to help out, too.
Or...
Can Boom take out his like little
creature? I think this might be the linchpin here if we just snip, so to speak.
He's already going with his like puncher thing.
So not the laser drill.
I mean we're all working together. He just wants to participate. Okay. Let him do it.
Dude.
Oh, man.
I'm not yucking your
I know. I'm not talking to you. I'm not talking to anyone.
Is this door made out of concrete, plastic, or wood?
It's
because it does not say metal.
Right. So if you go to the hardness on 408, 411, that's what I used last time you guys were punching through the wood door. Where's that hardness? Materials. Let's see. I thought I had here that it was 15. So it's stone. It's fine. You're able to get through it with your...
It's hardness of 15 or less?
Yes.
That's what the laser drill
would be.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I know.
Because rules are important.
Okay. Thank you, Kev. So you're able to get through. I like the idea of Kara and Cecil doing this together. And then Boom's like...
It's like we trained for this kind of thing.
Yeah.
We are professional.
Love it. How does the door fall off, Will? Where does it fall off? Does it swing? Where did the linchpin, like, where did you try and open it?
I'm assuming it's around, like, the latch for...
Yeah. So it'll swing off.
Yeah.
Cool. Takes a minute or two. But you all are skilled. You've done this in training a bunch of times. And it slides. You can feel the floor because you've cut it in some places, the hinge is a little unbalanced suddenly, and the front end scrapes a little bit. And you push it open, and you see that there is a small room with a little shelf on the side and another staircase that descends further.
Cecil kind of shimmies his way forward, and he pulls out his tactical pike in one arm, and as he's putting his drill away, he says to Kara, that was a lot easier than training.
Maybe too easy.
And he's going to head down the stairs.
Taking point. Okay. What's everyone else doing?
Boom equips his pulse staccato rifle now and follows right behind.
Migo?
Squad machine gun.
Kara's going to pull out the tack lash and compliance ray.
Ooh. The old trusty whip. I like it. What's Migo doing?
Migo is covering six with his hammer.
Love it.
He likes to be all the way in the fray.
Okay. Again. Quietly, you hear the sounds of your own feet. But as you're descending, you realize you are deep, getting deeper and deeper under Morrow's surface. There's an intermittent as the signal keeps trying to catch from Archie. It's still there. You all can talk locally to each other, but the signal's becoming a little weak from Archie. The walls and the ceiling are silent under the pressure of just Akiton's clay, thousands of feet of it above you. It starts to spiral down. There's a small landing every 10 or so steps with a left turn. And then you also start to notice this like thrum. Maybe you think it's in your head. And then you reach out. You can feel a barely perceptible vibration. Kara, especially with your electrolocation, if you test that. There are small lights that illuminate each step. Those flicker sometimes with that hum. So for a brief second, sometimes you think you can't quite see the step in front of you, and then it comes back. If any of you have apprehensive about tight spaces, you certainly begin to feel uneasy in your gut, even with your training. So step after...
Is this the same thrumming that Boom heard with his device?
No, that was different. You think that thrumming came from the statue thing. Yeah, the like prophetic statue there. Yeah.
This is new.
This is a new thrumming. After a while, there's just the thrum, your footsteps, and the air around you as you descend. The air is also getting hotter. You're starting to breathe. Sweat starting to build under your suits and in your masks. If you're wearing any masks, and you think, man, God, this is getting real hot. Maybe you take off a glove as you're walking slowly, switching weapons because your hands are getting sweaty. Then the light starts to just, the light level raises a little bit as a soft orange hue until you stop right before a landing and you realize that around the left, there's a source of orange light. The staircase ends around the corner. And that is our game. Knew it.
Is this where we finally are? I don't know. Listen in next week to We'll Save the Podcast.
And Kelly says...
See you later, Scallywags. That's fun.